I'm pleased to present Dr. Stephen Best, one of the people who has recently stepped forward to speak for the Animal Liberation Front Press Office. Thanks for phoning us today, Steve. Thanks for phoning us today, Steve.
Good to be with you. How are you doing?
Oh, very well. And we wanted to say, well, for those who aren't familiar with the Animal Liberation Front, what do they do?
Well, they have a particular set of guidelines that anyone in the ALF must follow. To join the ALF, you don't look in the phone book, the yellow pages under ALF. You don't talk to your neighbor. You join the ALF because you are so fed up with the extreme nature of animal exploitation, and you well realize that animals will never get justice through the state system, which is controlled by corporations, that one has to go underground sometimes to liberate animals from their captivity and to end this bloody system of exploitation. So if you decide to join the ALF, you just simply go underground and you attack the industries that are attacking animals. The ALF guidelines are fourfold. Number one, the goal is to liberate animals from places of abuse. This will include laboratories, factory farms, fur farms, etc., and to place these animals in good homes where they will live out their natural lives and they can no longer be exploited. Number two, if you join the ALF, your goal is to inflict maximum economic damage to those who profit from the misery and exploitation of animals. In this way, you can cripple an industry or end an industry by attacking their nerve center, which is their pocketbook. And number three, you want to reveal the horror and atrocities that are committed against animals inside institutions of abuse. So ALF members will bring in video cameras and document abuse. And often these videos, such as in the raid on the University of Pennsylvania head injury lab clinic in the States in 1986, very powerful. What the ALF did was they stole 20 hours of videotapes. They didn't even smash any equipment. And those videotapes completely delegitimated these experiments on monkeys and showed what sadist bastards often these experimenters are. And finally, you want to take all necessary precautions against harming life, any animal, whether human or non-human. And if you follow all of these guidelines and you are a vegan in particular, you are a proud member of the ALF.
Very good. Now, along with Anthony Nocella, you wrote and edited the book Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals. That was published last year. Yeah. Well, what compelled you to take on that subject?
Well, we realized that there was the ALF has been in existence for 30 years. It emerged in England under the leadership of Ronnie Lee in 1976. And after really three decades of activity throughout 20 different nations, the ALF, there was no real analysis or study of the ALF. And so we decided to compile an anthology that combines various voices to form the first comprehensive study of the ALF. And we combine activist and academic voices. Women are very well represented in the book. We have the perspectives from Native Americans and social radicals. Ward Churchill wrote the intro to the book. Ingrid Newkirk wrote the afterword. Sue Coe did the stunning cover design on the book. So it's really something, I think, of a tour de force with all the different people we have in it. The contributors are the usual suspects, eco-terrorists like, quote-unquote, right? Rod Coronado and Paul Watson so many others. And it is a study of the ALF. I've gotten some good feedback on the book. There are many people in the animal rights movement who believe in animal rights, but not animal liberation. Now, they're not prepared to defend illegal activity and sabotage in defense of animals. And many people who were at that level, who believed in rights but not liberation, have read this book and got a whole new understanding of how powerful the arguments in favor of liberation activities are, because the book, in a sense, is a pro-con argumentative structure, and it certainly is a forceful argument on behalf of ALF activities, on behalf of sabotage, on behalf of just about any activity short of committing violence against other human beings that one can take to save an animal or shut down an industry that is exploiting animals.
Mm. Steve, you're an academic. You're a professor at the University of Texas.
Yep, of all places. I'm chair of the philosophy department at University of Texas, El Paso. It's very lonely out here for a radical like myself.
And how do your colleagues...
Radical activity is global, after all, so...
It is. What do your colleagues think about it when they hear about your extracurricular work?
Sometimes I wonder. I've had the mayor of El Paso try to get me removed from my job. City council people doing the same. I do get hassled from various colleagues throughout the university for defending animal liberation, and I think also from my own colleagues. So it is a stand that I have taken, and I am certainly receiving various arrows from various directions, but one has to take a stand in behalf of animal liberation. It's not something that you can just whisper to people in secret and say, you know what, I sympathize with the ALF. I sympathize with sabotage activities on behalf of animals. People need to step up and say, I'm in favor of animal liberation, and I'm not afraid to defend it openly. And when lawyers begin doing this, when academics begin doing this, when doctors begin doing this, we realize that the idea of animal liberation is percolating upwards and is becoming, therefore, a more serious kind of movement. Every movement in the social human liberation dimension that has become substantive and real and powerful has had its historians, its writers, its defenders at a public level. And this is beginning to happen with the ALF.
I understand, you know, the FBI has labeled the ALF a top domestic terrorism priority in the U.S., and past spokespeople have been targeted by police and grand juries and RCMP and so on.
Yeah.
Have you escaped that so far?
No, I haven't.
No. Oh, dear.
You know, it is, along with the ELF, considered the number, they're the number two, top two domestic eco-terrorist groups in the country. And recently, there was internal documents uncovered from the Homeland Security Department, sometimes called the Deutschland Security Department or the Homeland Insecurity Department, and it was revealed that they consider the ALF to be a more serious quote-unquote terrorist threat to the citizens of the U.S. than extreme right-wing hate groups, such as the kind of mentality, people, ideologies that blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City and killed hundreds of people, such as Eric Rudolph, who was recently captured, an extreme right-wing anti-abortionist who murdered a doctor. And these people, they rob banks, they commit violence, and yet they think that the ALF is a more serious domestic terrorist threat. Well, let me tell you something. The ALF will never fly loaded passenger planes into skyscrapers. The ALF will never murder a vivisector. The ALF will never commit any kind of violence against innocents, against citizens or civilians. They only attack those who attack animals, and they attack their property and not their person. And I think it's a reasonable thing to say that they are a nonviolent movement, and that the real violence, the real terrorists, are those who exploit animals and those in the government state system, corporate state system, that defend this massacre, this assault on animals that die by the billions in the various dungeons and cages of the global animal exploitation system. So it's just a farce, and that the ALF is considered a domestic terrorist group, and we know why, because the animal exploitation industries, such as the pharmaceutical industry, the vivisection industries, meat and dairy industries, are very powerful industries. They can call a session of Congress at will. They can demand new laws to be made against animal rights activists, and they can summon people like me with a subpoena to appear before congressional eco-terrorist committees. In the past, people like Craig Rose, who have spoken on behalf of the ELF, have been hassled unbelievably by the state and this country. They have had their homes raided. They have been surveilled. They've had their computers and books and papers taken. They've been summoned to grand juries. They have been hassled in every possible way. I haven't received that level of state harassment yet for being an ALF press officer. I think that's a little different from a spokesperson. person, slightly pretentious. We just release communiques and give interviews in the media about ALF activities. I have received quite a few urgent faxes, emails, and phone calls from Senator James Inhofe, an extreme right-wing anti-environmentalist reactionary Neanderthal in this country, not to slur Neanderthals in any way, and he has tried to force me to quote-unquote submit to a quote-unquote interview with an eco-terrorist committee, and I politely refused. So there is heat for this, but the people need to stand up for liberation. I mean, what the animals go through is just so unimaginable that whatever pain we have to take on or hassles in our lives to help these animals is well worth it.
Right.
And when you look at someone, I mean, what I've gone through is nothing. When you look at someone like Rod Coronado, who is a true eco-warrior, and what he has endured from the hands of the state, just amazing, and his spirit has never been crushed. He's still a warrior. We have to become warriors. We have to become strong in our resistance to the corporate state structure that seeks to destroy, to devour all life, all animal life, all human life, the entire earth. It will just crush up for its profits. It will destroy the earth before it relinquishes its power.
So how effective are the ALF tactics like sabotage, arson, and laboratory raids to rescue animals compared to, say, petitions and lobbying for better legislation, for example?
Right. The ALF, unlike the mainstream opponents of the ALF who think that they're violent, that they give animal welfare, animal rights a bad name, and the ALF is a very pluralist kind of, ALF philosophy is a pluralist approach. It believes in the need for levels of struggle of all kinds, welfare groups and above-ground rights struggles, education, legislation. But it realizes that sometimes legislative struggles cannot win the fight for justice for animals. Animals are considered property in the laboratories and in the fur farms. This will never be legislated away. The best you can do is perhaps increase the cage sizes. So if we want to free animals on a fur farm, what are we supposed to do? Go talk to the fur farmer and say, will you relinquish your quote-unquote tradition, your livelihood, so that these animals can be free and live out their natural lives? That won't work. Are we going to go to the legislature and ask for laws to be passed to ban fur farming? That's not a bad struggle. It's going to take decades, though. Or do we just go into the middle of the night with clippers and release these animals and honor their duty, honor our duty to respect their rights and let them be free? So there are cases where legislative approaches just simply don't work. There are many cases, on the contrary, where ALF liberation activities such as a mink release, fox release, burning down of a research laboratory without harming any people, that research is used to further exploit animals. Some of these operations, vivisection labs for farms, et cetera, have been shut down. They don't reappear. A lot of people are intimidated by this kind of activity and will never start up such an operation to begin with. So there are many successes of the ALF. It's part of the overall struggle. I have to say, the ALF is not a revolutionary movement. It cannot accomplish revolutionary social change. It is an underground movement that strikes here and there. And it is not going to be a barrier of systemic social change. What we need is a social movement, a radical social movement that integrates human and animal liberation and defense of the earth into one movement, realizing that we have one common enemy globally, and that is corporate capitalism.
Right.
And until that happens, there will not be liberation for any being on this planet. Martin Luther King said, an injustice to one is an injustice to all. What happens to the animals is an injustice to all of this, and we must end this.
Now, as you mentioned, the ALF is an underground secret organization of individuals, but above-ground support is rampant across North America and Europe. Why is that? What draws people to support the Animal Liberation Front?
I think a lot of people are inspired to see the kind of courage and level of commitment it takes to don a mask and do recon and break into a building and free animals, knowing that one could go to jail for 5, 10, or more years for such an act of liberation. It's inspiring to see that level of commitment. I think people more and more are learning just how exploited animals are, and that we need quote-unquote extreme actions to operate in extreme situations. Being moderate in an extreme action is an ineffective response. If the situation is extreme, we need to do something extreme. Mm. Martin Luther King ended up calling himself an extremist because he got the label so often pinned to him, as we all do, struggling for liberation. He finally just stopped resisting it. He said, yes, I'm an extremist. I'm an extremist in my passion for rights, for justice. I'm an extremist in my love. Well, we can say we're an extremist in our dedication to liberation. Wear that as a badge of honor, not as a stigma.
Oh, that's very inspiring. And I understand you've also written a second book as well that's just published this year. Is that right?
We have, Tony and I have, we're compiling a new anthology of essays called In Defense of Mother Earth, something to that effect. It's with IK Press. It'll be out toward the end of this year or early next year. And it's about the topic of revolutionary environmentalism. Mm. And we have prisoners and feminists and academics and activists and just a whole diverse array of voices, including Black Panthers. One of the interesting things that's happening is that Black Panthers and other social radicals are beginning to come to animal rights conferences and beginning to see the connections between these kinds of struggles. So I have hope that we are able to make these connections. Anyone aware of what's going on with the globalization movement or the anti-globalization movement, or better, the globalization from below movement opposed to the globalization from above movement, talking about the underground resistance against corporate capital that's spread throughout the world, that is inspiring to know that there is resistance on a planetary level against this corporate death machine. And we are able now, I think, to begin to draw various kinds of connections to form alliances for all kinds of rights struggles.
That's
and we need to broaden humanism. I mean, there are severe limits to humanist ideology.
Absolutely.
If we invoke Martin Luther King again, if we take this idea, his idea of a world house, where all in the whole globe live together in peace and harmony, without war, without poverty, without racism, without hatred, in a global community, a world house, what kind of house would that be? Mm. If just left at that level, it'd still be a damn slaughterhouse where 40 billion animals throughout the planet every year will die to become turned into meat and commodities. 40 billion, that world house is still a slaughterhouse, still a bloodbath. We have to take our ideologies of rights and liberation to the next level to include all beings in a liberation philosophy. I often hear people say the cliche, well, there's only one race, the human race. And that's meant as a sign of unity, but you see its limitations. It's a humanist slogan. We have to realize that there's one community, the bio community. And that's so much more powerful a slogan, if we're looking for a slogan, than saying there's one race, the human race. We need to realize there's one community, the community of life, and animals are a part of this. And there are brothers and sisters on this planet. They evolved with us. They evolved before us. We're all interconnected. And we have to defend them because they are defenseless on their own.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. That's Steve Best, PhD, author of Terrorists Are Freedom Fighters, and press officer for the Animal Liberation Front Press Office.
Let me refer people quickly to two websites.
Please
do. North American Animal Liberation Press Office, just go to the following address, www.animalliberationpressoffice.org. Okay? Animal Liberation Press Office, one word, .org. Go to my website to find a lot of readings, a lot of excerpts from my various books and articles, and you can find the intro to the Terrorists Are Freedom Fighters book. That address is drstevebest.org.
Alrighty. And the other one's animalliberationpressoffice.org. We'll put a link on our website to yours. Alrighty, if you can stay with us for a moment, Steve, I'm going to treat the listeners to a little bit of Green Tara right now.